Bergstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Long before I even thought that I'd be making a change, I was very well aware of what Chris was doing in the minor leagues. Because I've told a lot of people, for the first time ever since I've been here, we were teaching baseball in the minor leagues the way I wanted it to be taught. My first feeling was, okay, I'll interview an internal candidate, and then I'm going to ask permission to talk to all of these other guys. But that moved me to the thought that, what is it that I owe the fans? And I think one of the things that I owe the fans is to get better as fast as we can possibly get better. The speed is of the essence. I don't want this to be a long-term proposition.
Oh, boy. Wow.
He said that?
He said a lot more than that.
Yeah, I remember when he said that.
And that was Jerry Reinsdorf when he hired Chris Getz, because with Getz's experience in the organization, they wouldn't have to waste a year with somebody getting to know what was going on. And look, Chris Getz sort of just weaseled his way into this job. And I've said it before, the entire organization, in at least on the baseball side, has been a nest of weasels for too long. They tried to clear some of them out. They've attempted to change the culture there to minimal avail. And it was also at that press conference that Jerry Reinsdorf said his favorite player of all time is David Eckstein, even though he had Frank Thomas on his team. And he talked about Eddie Stanky back from his days with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
David Eckstein.
That favorite player, even though he was bad. His favorite player's bad. He had Frank Thomas. Frank Thomas. On the White Sox.
You mean the guy I had on my poster on the bedroom wall, Batman and Robin? That Frank Thomas? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, that's right. Between Alabama and...
Oh,
and
remember, my first probably 10 baseball games were Birmingham Barons games.
Oh, right.
I lived in Birmingham until I was 10. And then we moved to Huntsville. And then I got to see, like, Jordan and them play when I was in high school. So, like, let me just... Can we just start with this? Like, I think you're giving Jerry Reinsdorf a pass when you say Chris Getz weaseled his way into... No. Jerry Reinsdorf is in charge. He decided to promote Chris Getz, and then he said what he said, which we played off the top. The only person that Jerry Reinsdorf has to blame for what has happened to the White Sox is Jerry Reinsdorf.
With that said, let's read the statement that was issued yesterday. And apparently the response was, this was released due to a number of requests from area outlets to basically say, hey, Jerry, you're the guy. Is this okay? You're the worst baseball team of all time. Is it okay? After everything he said about not wasting time and hitting the ground running and not making a long-term proposition, they're the worst team in the history of baseball. This is after the 114th loss of the season. Jerry Reinsdorf issued this statement. Everyone in this organization is extremely unhappy with the results of this season. That goes without saying. This year has been very painful for all, especially our fans. We did not arrive here overnight, and solutions won't happen overnight either. Going back to last year, we have made difficult decisions and changes to begin building a foundation for future success. What has impressed me is how our players and staff have continued to work and bring a professional attitude to the ballpark each day, despite a historically difficult season. No one is happy with the results, but I commend the continued effort. I expect to have more to say at the end of the season. Jerry, the season ended in April.
That's fair.
This is the end of the season. This is long past the end of the season. And I will not forget, and I will not let you forget, that they had it. Everything he wanted, everything they had built, based on trades for the future, based on an exciting and somewhat risky but edgy and fun marketing campaign, and based on their pursuit of a dynamic young manager, they had it. And what did Jerry Reinsdorf do? He hired Tony La Russa.
Is that for you the marker? Is that where it starts?
100%. 100%. They had it. And there is as a White Sox executive told me, he said, we had this thing by the balls. They did. And they were going to hire A.J. Hinch.
Yes, I remember this.
His name was on the graphic. It was already there. They were going to hire somebody who knows what he's doing, who's ready for the next wave of managing. He hired Tony La Russa. They burned down the culture. They ruined everything. Tony La Russa was the largest single contributor to ruining everything. And he's still there. When he says our players and staff, Tony La Russa. I commend the continued effort of Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa remains attached to Jerry Reinsdorf's hip. He remains, whether by title or simply by de facto, the highest ranking baseball voice in the organization due to his proximity to Jerry Reinsdorf, his proximity to power. Jerry Reinsdorf is standing in the ashes of a building that he burned down and saying, well, nobody's happy. Nobody's happy this all burned down, but, well, I commend the effort. You wrecked it because you installed your guy for no good reason other than your personal whim.
I want to start with the last thing he said in that statement, which is, I expect to have more to say at the end of the season. My question in answer to that is, when you say more to say at the end of the season, is that to the select group of people that you actually take questions from, or is it going to be open forum for all media members to question the decisions that have been made? Because last time I checked, last offseason, that's what he had, like a small little where he didn't want to let everyone ask questions. They tried to shuttle in the baseball writers, the beat writers, and do their own thing, and everyone wasn't allowed to ask questions, which, you know what? You're the owner. You can do whatever you want. But we talked earlier about transparency. We talked earlier about authenticity, right? For all the White Sox fans and their hurt that he addressed in that statement, that hurt is real. That hurt has turned for many to apathy, for many to anger. You never want to have apathy, and that's where we are.
So far past anger. It's like that.
That's what I'm saying. When you get past anger and you settle into the apathy and it's like quicksand and you're sinking down, that's where White Sox fans are right now. You know why I can say that freely? I'm a White Sox fan, born and raised a White Sox fan. And so you want to turn the page, but the page can't be turned for the many reasons that you just stated. And I think for all of us waiting to see what's next, it's like, how is it going to get better? You know, are there more Andrew Benintendis for you to go out and spend money on and say, this is the biggest free agent signing in White Sox history? Now, granted, Benintendi's having a better year than last year, but everybody's
bad.
Having a better year than last year.
His WRC plus is 85.
I get it.
But it's better than Luis Roberts.
Which is telling in and of itself. I don't know what's going on with Luis Robert Jr. I think also for me, it sounds bad when I say this, but nothing is going to change unless Jerry Reinsdorf is not making the decisions, and he'll always be making the decisions so long as he owns the team.
The only words White Sox fans want to hear that will give them any sense of hope is the team is up for sale. Those are the only words left.
The words about a new ballpark?
Now you're trolling. The only words,
I'm definitely trolling
the
you right
only
now.
Words that are left. It's like the you know, Pandora's box. All the evils escape into the world, and what is left at the bottom? What's the last word left for Pandora? Hope. And I think hope may have flown out of this too. I think hope may have burned to the ground too. And this is something that they were so close. The excitement level was so real, and it was on the precipice of something. And he decided to indulge his own personal whim in a way that scuttled the culture that they'd built It scuttled all the goodwill with fans who had bought in to the sacrifices that were made and had made that tacit agreement to do that. And I like the text where Southside Pete says, the word isn't apathy, it's disgust. If you can still summon that.
That's what I'm saying.
If you can still summon disgust.
Apathy is beyond disgust.
Good for you.
That's the whole point. Apathy is beyond disgust because disgust means you still care. You still pay attention. Who's paying attention to, besides myself, of course, to White Sox games on a nightly basis?
You are?
I
You're
tune
watching
in.
Games?
I want to see what Drew Cannon can do. I want to know. Like I'm. Wow. Call it curiosity. Call it just. I like sports in the background. You know.
No,
baseball is the soundtrack of summer, right? And,
yeah.
And summer is ending.
And don't forget that soundtrack of summer used to involve one of the great broadcasters in the game. And Jerry Reinsdorf, again on a whim.
I don't think it was a whim. I think he just didn't like him.
It's what I mean. He had the power to do it, and he did it, and he didn't like him. And he didn't like negotiating the number of games he was going to do. He didn't like watching him eat on the air. He didn't think his jokes were funny. And now he's gone, too. And it's the heartbreak of some of that stuff is unforgivable.
What's crazy to me is, I'm sorry, it's not crazy to me. What I've realized over my time of following this team, specifically in the last 3 years that I've been in Chicago, because, you know, I was at, you know, they go to a playoff series, they get worked by the Astros, you know, it is what it is, right? But everybody who makes a bad decision, because we all make bad decisions, right? The difference between making a bad decision and being a bad decision maker is not understanding that you can change course after a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I've seen the failure to change course after a bad decision, not doing it in a timely fashion. And that's really what's haunting this franchise right now.
That's Marshall Harris. He's in for Lawrence Holmes here on the Bernstein and Holmes Show. I'm Dan Bernstein. And boy, a lot of people are coming out and having lunch and having fun. And you should, because we are here out and about. 670 The Score, live in the Lake Street Plaza at Prue. It's a lovely park, an abundance of outdoor seating. There's beautiful greenery. We've got food kiosks. And there's a food truck that just pulled up. A massive high-def Golden Tee game is set up. People throwing footballs at targets, and we've got mini footballs, and we've got plenty of Score merch. And I realize some of the Circa folks are arriving right now, and that means soon. Circa Sports Illinois is going to have their merch for you when you download the app and deposit. They've got all sorts of free bonus merchandise for you. So come out. You could not have a lovelier late summer, early meteorological fall day than we have today. So you are certainly welcome. When we come back, Tyreek Hill spoke yesterday and also had a little bit of accountability for the incident that went on. And what did you phrase it? Great athlete privilege?
Yeah, athlete privilege. People who their whole lives have been catered to step one through Z. And that's what this was a case of.
A Z.
Yeah. No, one Z. Because we're going all the way through the numbers and the alpha.
All of it through.
The alphanumeric.
That's a big span of letters and numbers. We'll talk about it next on The Score.